May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Forgiveness with oneself. Forgiveness, Christ alone brings lasting forgiveness. Forgiveness with God, forgiveness with oneself, forgiveness with all others, and ultimately, the desire for lasting forgiveness in our hearts. Last Sunday, I spoke of those times and places where we need to forgive God. Not that God needs our forgiveness, but rather we are in need of reconciliation with God, getting right with God because of some awful event, some suffering in our life, or some loss in our life. Today, on this third Sunday of Lent, I would like to examine briefly with you the need for forgiveness with oneself. And next Sunday, we will conclude with a look at what it is to forgive the other who has hurt us, the other who has wronged us. In the first letter of John, we read, "If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I shared the story last week of Martin Luther and the dream that he once recalled and shared with those in his congregation. He shared the dream where he stood at a book where all of his sins were written, one after another. And the devil was the character in the dream with him. And the devil spoke to Luther and said, "Martin, here is one of your sins, here is another," as he pointed to each of his sins in this book. And finally, in the dream, Luther looks the devil straight in the eyes and says to him, "Take a pen and write, 'The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin.'" Now, most of us don't have such dreams, as did Luther. It's a dramatic dream, but it points to a very simple truth that Jesus Christ has given us, by his life and death and resurrection, forgiveness of our sins when we are truly repentant. Do you accept the grace of his forgiveness from God? In other words, simply stated, do we embrace our Lord's forgiveness for us? The theme of the readings for this third Sunday of Lent, from Exodus to the Gospel, all look at the whole understanding that there is a God who indeed has expectations upon our lives, from the Ten Commandments to whether we live our lives with integrity, to how we conduct ourselves within our places of worship. All of those things put around our Christian lives a moral code of ethical behavior, if you will. And so we're put face to face today with this whole understanding of God has expectations of us, and we fall short. Throughout our lives, we do that which is apart from the will of God, that which our prayer book names as sin, choosing apart from God's will. And so when we look at the subject of forgiving oneself, we have to say, well, what is that? What does that mean? Webster's dictionary defines forgiveness as grant pardon for something or to someone. In this case, ourselves. So that forgiveness is a willingness to forgive. And forget. To forget and forgive are intrinsically related. And this is very much the antithesis, if you will, of what we hear in the secular world, where we hear lots of people saying, "I will never forget." To forget is losing hold of one's memory of something that needs forgiving. So that you cannot say with integrity that you will forgive but never forget. Luther's dream is a poignant reminder that so many of us dwell upon our sins. We are sin dwellers, as I like to say. We stay in that place to the point that we have great difficulty believing that God could possibly ever forgive us. And most of us have had something in our life or several things in our lives for which at one time or another we have done and which we continue to hold on to. We have difficulty letting go. Throughout my priesthood, I have been asked whether or not private confession is ever necessary, especially as Episcopalians. I've shared with some of you that I spent the first 20 years of my life in the Roman Catholic Church, even though I only went to Catholic grammar school for 1 year, and then I was in public school. I did go to Villanova University, Catholic University, struggling this year with their basketball team. One of the things that used to scare me to no end was waiting online to go into the confessional. If you were raised as a Catholic, you will remember that. And when we were little children, we had to make regular confession. And I can remember waiting to get up to that curtain with the priest sitting in there with a little thing that slid up and down and just rehearsing in my mind what I would say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 3 months since my last confession." It was weeks back then. And then you would say things like, you know, speaking back to my parents, fighting with my sister. You know, you would come up with this litany of sins that you felt you had to say to the priest. Well, we don't have that. Most of you are probably saying, "Thanks be to God." And my answer to people who come to me and say, "When is private confession necessary?" because it is in our Book of Common Prayer, is that if you are living with a sin that weighs particularly heavily upon your heart, and that every week you sit in church and you confess that sin in the general confession, which we will do in just minutes, and you still, after hearing the priest, you hearing the priest grant God's absolution as a mediator for God, and yet you still come back the following week with that same sin, then perhaps going to a priest privately, in our church we do it in the context of a chapel or in one's office, and often I tell people, go to another priest in another church if that makes you more comfortable. If you need to hear that priest, if you need to hear she or he say to you, "You are forgiven. God forgives you for that sin," for grace to take hold of you, to believe that it has happened, even though it has happened in the context of the church service, then you need to do that. Rabbi Harold Kushner, famous for the book When Bad Things Happen to Good People, also wrote another wonderful good book several years ago called How Good Do We Have to Be? And he writes in this book the following: "I look out at the synagogue, filled to overflowing, every seat taken, people standing in the rear aisle. It is the eve of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the day on which Jews fast and pray that God forgive their shortcomings and send them forth cleansed to begin the new year. Men and women, he writes, who attend no other service in the year, come to this one. People who usually arrive halfway through one of our lengthy services make sure to come on time tonight. The cantor begins to chant the service with these words, he writes. By consent of the authorities in heaven and earth, we permit sinners to enter and be part of the congregation. Every one of the nearly 1,000 people in attendance believes these words are addressed to him or her. He concludes, to feel forgiven is to feel free to step into the future uncontaminated by the mistakes of the past, encouraged by the knowledge that we can grow and change and need not repeat the same mistakes again. Maybe you find it difficult at times to believe that you are worthy of the forgiveness of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Perhaps there is something in your past that keeps getting in the way of that freedom to step into the future uncontaminated. A grace of Lent is that it is an opportunity for us as members of the church, as well as for the church itself, to turn away from that which has been a hindrance, to come to a closer relationship to God through Jesus Christ, and leave that hindrance, leave that sin within these 40 days, and begin anew. In the next several Sundays, just hear the story of Christ's passion. Envision in your mind the agonizing death of Jesus on the cross, and then imagine with your heart that there is any one thing for which God will not forgive you. What do we hold on to this day? Let us give our sin, our sense of inadequacy, to the one who is faithful and just and forgives us. In the name of God, who is forgiveness, amen.